So we're going to Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1 down through verse 17. These are kind of big chunks, but we're going to move through some of these passages quite quickly as the Lord enables. And we don't necessarily need to read everything continuously as well. We may jump and change from time to time. But here we go with Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. You remember that the Lord has been speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And here we're told, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said further unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." Amen. May God bless to us this reading also. We saw last time how the Lord God, the eternal Word, spoke to Moses from the bush that burned. Burned, but was not consumed. Moses was to go and to tell the elders of Israel how God would bring them out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. But Moses was doubtful that the elders and the people of Israel would listen to him. And so he asks for a sign to show to them to prove that God had indeed spoken to him, met with him and spoken to him. He was aware that the people might say, how do we know that you are not just saying that? How can we tell that what you say is true? Now, the Lord was not displeased with this request, and he does indeed provide Moses with several signs. There's a staff that turns into a snake on the ground, and then back into a staff again when it is picked up by the tail. There's a miraculous coming and going of leprosy on Moses' hand when he places it inside of his cloak and then takes it out again. And a third sign was given as well, that he would perform when he was back in Egypt, where the water of the river would turn into blood when it was poured onto the ground. These powerful demonstrations of power showed that God was with Moses, and they were given to provide proof to the children of Israel of this meeting that had taken place. But Moses had another problem. He felt inadequate for the task that he was being given, because he says to the Lord, I'm not a good speaker. Now, perhaps there was indeed a physical weakness in his speech, or else maybe it was something to do with his accent or his vocabulary, so that he became tongue-tied. And he became embarrassed and he became self-conscious. Moses himself calls it slow of speech or of a slow tongue. And what we see happens next is that God gives Moses a talking to. And he gives him a firm lesson about who made mouths and who made ears and who made eyes. Moses was to go and do as he was told. And Moses was left in no doubt that God would enable him as was needed. And the next verse is very interesting. It's verse 12 that we read together there, I think. Verse 13, actually. Moses says, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And I just say it's interesting because some of the old writers suggest that what Moses was saying there was, why don't you send the one that you've promised to send? Why don't you send the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you send him right now? So that Moses, if this is the interpretation of this verse, knew, as indeed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob knew, that there would be a Messiah who would be sent. This message that had been given right from the very beginning of time, it was even given in the garden to Adam and to Eve, that there would be one who would come who would bruise the serpent's head. You know, some people even said that was the reason why Moses was told to pick up the rod by its tail, because the only one who would truly deal with the serpent's head was the Lord Jesus Christ. These are interesting thoughts, and we're not going to be able to spend too much time thinking about them. But it just shows you how some of these old writers endeavoured to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of these pictures and types in the Old Testament. So Moses agrees to go, and he still appears, however, to be hesitant and somewhat reluctant. And we're told that the Lord's anger was kindled against Moses. So the Lord now includes Aaron, Moses' brother, as a co-worker and a spokesperson. How God's anger was demonstrated against Moses is not clearly stated. Perhaps God had intended to take Moses' slowness of speech away from him, and now it wasn't removed. And yet we need to remember that God's love for Moses remains unchanged, because God still employs him, and God still went with him in this task. God tells Moses that Aaron would also go with him. So perhaps Moses lost something of the preeminence now that there were two involved in this delegation to Pharaoh. But I've just got a couple of lessons that I want to leave with you from this passage, if we can do that. And the first one is this, that the Lord was willing to provide Moses with these signs in order to convince the children of Israel that God had spoken to Moses. And it was a great help to Moses when he went to visit with the elders of the children of Israel. But perhaps you're wondering today, why doesn't God give his spokesmen today the same kind of powerful signs? Why doesn't he give to preachers today the same kind of powerful signs like he did to his apostles? And that's a very good question. There are two reasons why God doesn't do that. The first is that God has given us the scriptures and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles for us to teach and to preach. This gospel message is to be declared to all who will listen. And God has said that he will give faith to believe to whomsoever he will. And so we're not bringing new revelations from God as preachers of the gospel, but we are simply restating what God has already declared and what God has already passed his authority upon. Faith to believe that is a gift. Believing the gospel isn't about having enough evidence to tip the balance in one way or another, or as if we are trying to convince an unbeliever that it would be a really good idea if he was to place his trust in God. Preaching the gospel is about declaring the truth and then leaving God to give faith. Faith to believe to all who should be saved. God gave Moses and Aaron his authority to speak and to bring about judgments on his behalf. And the Lord Jesus Christ did the same for his apostles. But preachers today do not have, or indeed do not need, that same authority. Our authority is the message, not the man. In matters of faith, a preacher is only to be believed to the extent that he preaches the truth of Scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second reason that we don't have these signs and wonders today is that the signs in themselves will not convince hard hearts. And we're going to prove that in the coming weeks when Moses comes before Pharaoh. Signs might generate some curiosity and might generate some interest, but they cannot make a hard heart soft, and they cannot make a dead soul alive. It takes a miracle of grace. It takes the sovereign creative work of God the Holy Spirit to do that. And outward signs and wonders have given place to an inward work of grace and the new birth. When the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life, the gospel will be believed, and men and women and boys and girls will themselves become the signs of God's work of power as they are brought to salvation and joined into the Church of Jesus Christ. And there's another noticeable point here as well, how that God reminds Moses that he made mouths and ears and eyes. When we think about this, we realise that nothing will be a hurdle to God when he is going to accomplish something. The rod became a snake, the leprous hand. The water turned to blood. And many more miracles that would be in the form of plagues were yet to be seen in Egypt. This shows that God controls nature and he's not limited by what we think is possible or not possible. Let us never limit God. He may not do signs and wonders today, but he is still accomplishing his purpose, using frail, feeble, and often foolish people like us to do that very thing. And just because God uses ordinary means to achieve his extraordinary purpose does not make those accomplishments any less wonderful. The death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation by his sacrifice is a most marvelous work. And yet God uses ordinary people like you and me to extend and make known the effects of Christ's achievements. That's a great privilege for us, just as it was for Moses. And as the Lord calls us to follow him and to serve his church and his people, let us remember that no barrier and no limitation in us will be too great to prevent him from doing all his will. And here's one last point and then I'm done. Do you remember who it is that was writing this book of Exodus? He wrote all the first five books of the Bible. Well, of course, it's Moses, isn't it? So Moses is writing about himself. Moses is the writer of these things, about Moses. So this part of Exodus is what we call autobiographical, writing about himself. And it's to Moses' credit that he writes so truthfully about himself. He writes about his shortcomings, he writes about his doubts, he writes about his hesitation, and he shows himself to be a faithful historian by recording his own weakness and indeed recording God's displeasure about him. We often try to cover up our own sin and cover up the mistakes that we make and our lack of trust. But let us remember that the finest of the Lord's servants were only poor sinners like us. The glory of God is not that he uses us for how strong we are, but that he uses us despite how weak we are. And it is my prayer today that he will use you who are listening to honour Christ's name and to serve his people. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Amen.